Blog Talk Radio.
Hello! Hello! Yay! It's Thursday! It's another reality show. I am Golden Hawk and I am spinning like a top. Yes, indeed. I don't know what's happening to the electromagnetic space on our planet, but I can promise you it is shifting because my body and my physical being is feeling these shifts. And I mean, I'm just sitting here and my vertigo is kicking up. I mean, vertigo comes in many ways. It used to come only when I lay down, if I look to the left or I look to the right. Now vertigo happens when I'm sitting up and my eyes move to the left or the right, which is, you know, clearly makes for an interesting experience when the world just starts spinning around out of nowhere when, you know, you're sitting in front of your computer or, you know, of course. Now, here's the funny part about vertigo, and I would imagine everybody who has it knows this because I've talked to several people. You never spin while you're driving the car. It's like there's this sense of control within self that says, no, we won't spin now, we drive now. We'll spin when we're sitting in front of our computer, watching TV, sitting, you know, in the middle of the forest, but never while we're driving. And, you know, you got to just love any kind of aspect of awakening in life that says, okay, you know, you get sick when it's safe, but don't get sick when it's not safe. Or you'll have the effects when it's safe, and you won't have the effects when, because I don't believe this is about getting sick. It's not about getting sick. Okay, so that's the first thing. The vertigo is definitely here, and it is kicking my sweet ass. Okay, the second thing is, I know everybody is here and excited about Michael Proteus Chemo, who is my wonderful third Thursday guest. He is amazing. We all love him. He is at the moment stuck in a major traffic jam in New York City. Yes, he is. He said that it was deluging. We were getting the rain in Connecticut. He was also getting it in New York. He doesn't know what's creating the traffic jam. He's been on a bus since 6 o'clock tonight. So what he's going to do is he is still, you know, working to be on the show tonight. He's going to be texting me his progress, if he is indeed moving or not. And of course, you know, Golden Hawk is working at the speed of consciousness. I literally just stumbled upon a wisdom teacher tonight in the most wonderful way. So I do have a guest tonight. We do have a wonderful show planned. It's totally spontaneous. I promise you it will be filled with wisdom and warmth and sincerity. And I also welcome this. We could have this show kind of be a call-in show. You know, the callers can call in and be part of the show tonight. This is, you know, it's kind of a potpourri of let's all share. You know, it's September 16th, 2010. We're all going through major upheavals and major awakenings and major wonderfulnesses, and this can be the show to share it. So I'm going to introduce my guest in a second. I just want to do our usual Thursday night invitation where we're going to bring in our essence, our soul's essence, the higher mind. There's many names for it, but it's essentially the sense of the beingness of who we are that is not physical, but that is beyond the physical. And we're going to, let's take some nice deep breaths. Boy, I mean, I can just feel the energy coming in me. I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but I am heightened right now. I mean, my hands, my arms, my legs feel very in a heightened state of awareness. And the intention is that we're inviting our essence to join us in our physical bodies. That the frequency is absolutely right for this moment, right now, This is whether you're listening to the archive or whether you're listening live, the frequency is right. That our essence join us in the physical dimension. Every breath that we breathe in, more and more pure awareness of what truly is a potential for us to experience. The awareness of hearing butterfly wings, or the awareness to feel someone's fear, even if they're acting belligerently. Or the awareness to sense, I'll tell you a story that happened to me today. I had the girls today, I had Anya and Sahana, and I had to go to the bathroom, number two. And Anya and Sahana live very close to where I live, so I like to come home to do that. So I told the girls, okay, you wait in the car, I'm going to go inside. I didn't tell them what I was doing. I just came inside, you know, figuring I'll use the bathroom real quick, and then I'll go back out and drive Anya to gymnastics. Well, it didn't work out that way. It took a little longer than I was expecting. And Dakini, my cat, starts scratching on the bathroom door. Now, I have a very close relationship with my cat, but, you know, when I'm in the bathroom, Dakini pretty much chills until I get out, no matter how long it takes me. So just the fact that she was scratching on the door really alerted me. I was like, this is something different. Why is Dakini scratching on the door? And I took a few breaths, and I literally felt Anya and Sahana were scared. And Dakini was alerting me to that. So before I was finished with what I was doing, I got myself together, went outside, and indeed, Sahana was crying. Anya was screaming in my driveway, Gobi! Gobi! And I was like, girls, what's the matter? And they're like, I'm like, are you guys okay? And they're like, no, we're scared. And I'm like, okay, listen, let's unbuckle, come inside the house, because I still have some business to take care of in the bathroom. But the whole point of this story was Dakini alerted me to the girls not being comfortable. I mean, it was such an exquisite dance of awareness of all of life around me sending me the message. And it's not that I'm not connected to Anya and Sahana, but Dakini became my physical presence where by scratching on the bathroom door, it told me something's different right now. Expand your awareness out. And as soon as I did, I mean, I clearly felt that the girls were not comfortable. And these are the gifts that we are opening up to. This is what the vertigo is all about. It's restructuring our energetic fields around our bodies so that we can be aware. I mean, the friends of mine that are on Facebook, when I wrote down that I was going to, I wrote on Facebook that I was going to lay down for 20 minutes before the show, I was lying there, I had my eyes shut, and I could hear my father walking in the room across the hall, which you're like, oh, okay, that must be normal. Well, no, it's really not. I don't normally hear him walking. I mean, my father's 76 years old. He plays the TV at a raging volume. And I don't normally hear him walking. But it wasn't like I didn't hear him with my ears. I felt his footsteps as vibrational steps in my stomach. So I was technically hearing him with my solar plexus. And I really did realize that, like, wow, this is just a matter of expanding my awareness that every step he takes ripples the energy throughout the house. And once he takes a step, the energy ripples. And as it rippled past my bed and where I was lying, I felt it. Now, this, my friends, is what I call magical. So that's why I said at the beginning of the show, vertigo is not about us getting sick. You know, that is very old school, very old consciousness. This is about us rearranging and becoming maybe a little uncomfortable at times so that we can become very much fully aware human beings that we wouldn't even be human, just human anymore. We would become fully aware human angels, because we would actually have conversations with plants, animals, interdimensional beings, galactic beings, everything. In fact, one of the greatest gifts that we're going to all have is anyone who has a loved one that's passed on or transformed, or what do they call that? Died. As we become aware, we will absolutely have full communication with them again. And the thing that's going to be interesting, I keep realizing, is, you know, when the physical body goes, the essence or the soul of a person is really not just, none of us are just, I'm not just Golden Hawk. When I am not in my physical body, I'm all aspects that I've ever lived, and we've all lived many, 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 many lifetimes. So we're like the compilation of all those lifetimes in the non-physical. So we could be talking to, like for me, my mom is on the other side. So I could be talking to her, but she's not going to show up as Rosalind, my mom. She's going to be the essence of all the beings. And my, what a conversation that will be, because, you know, like all of us will have an awareness that all of us are simultaneously having many, many aspects, many, many experiences, all happening now. So that is tonight's Wisdom by Goldie. Now I would like to, because it's not going to even end there. Now I want to bring on Ray Ann. God, when she told me her name, because literally me and Ray Ann, I think we've said hello a couple of times. She lives with a girlfriend of mine in Virginia, or West Virginia. We've spoken a few times where, you know, she's put Trish on the phone. But tonight we just started up a conversation, and she's brilliant. She's warm. Her name is Ray Ann. I mean, this is, for me, you know, when you say what's in a name, Ray, like ray of light. That was totally what I got. I literally said to her, she's 17 years old. I was like, you want to be on the show? And she's like, yeah, sure. So here she is. Welcome to the show, Raya.
Thank you, Goldie.
My pleasure. So so what do you think about all this consciousness and awareness and light? Well, let's ask you this. From a young person's perspective, do you see the changes happening on the planet?
Yes.
And do they scare you?
Some of them scare me, but a lot of them don't. It just depends on how you take it by heart.
Indeed. Because, you know, I really believe in my heart, your generation and under, like, you know, I don't know if you're Y, I don't know what letter we got up to, you know, Z, whatever. But you guys down, like, in, you know, Anya, who's 6, and Sahana, literally the changes that are happening are because your consciousness that you were just born with, you're the peacemakers. You're the people that every time I talk to a star kid, I call you guys star kids from Daniel Jacobs, I never get the sense that you guys care much about profits, you know, making millions. You guys don't, that's not the sense that I get from you. I get a real sense of, you know, like, hey, what's going on? How you doing today? You know, like, there's a genuine concern for life itself. I mean, that's what I got talking with you just tonight.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you sense that the adults a lot of times don't have that around you?
Yeah, I do.
You know, and it's like, you know, literally life is saying if we continue at that unconscious pace, we were going to be our own demise. You know, I really believe the end of our species would come if we just didn't wake up. But let me ask you a question. Okay, do you spend time in nature at all?
Yes.
talk to me about that. Because I don't want to talk to you. You speak eloquently. I mean, you really, it's like, what amazes me, you guys have the wisdom, but, you know, you're not doing the, you know, the ascension code activation. It's like all the adults I know, God bless them, we're all doing these permission slips to try and catch up to the frequency that you guys literally just are.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me say from humanity's point of view that are older than you, I am genuinely grateful that you're on the planet right now. I mean that with all sincerity. I am genuinely grateful you're here.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So tell me about, do you have any experiences that are, you know, profound that you want to share?
What do you mean by profound?
See, right. See, to you it's going to seem normal. Okay. Can you share an experience with me where, see, the conversation flowed. All right. Well, tell us about you. Who are you? First, let's get some background on you. And share whatever you're comfortable sharing, and anything you're not comfortable sharing, don't share.
Okay. Well, everybody now knows that is listening that I am a 17-year-old teenager, of course, and I've been through a lot, and I learn from what I've been through. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, but I take the bad things as a lesson, and I take the good things as a positive side.
Are you an optimist at heart?
Am I an optimist at heart? Well, define optimist.
And be honest. If you're not, listen, this show is all about honesty. You can say, hell no, I think the world sucks. I mean, I'm not putting words, I'm just saying, speak your truth and don't worry about saying the right things, just speak your truth. That is the right thing to speak.
Define optimist. What do you mean by optimist?
Okay, optimist meaning that there is, for me, the term optimism means that there's a reason why everything happens and that reason is indeed divine.
Yes, I'm the exact same way. I think everything that has happened to me in life and brought me here, that the household I live in, happened for a reason.
Indeed. Indeed. Now, you live with a family of angels, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you do. Now, do you believe that? Well, all right, so share. Keep going. Just ramble.
Well, the people that I lived with before weren't so happy and free-going and energetic in their mental state. They were all caught up on their problems, and they didn't know how to control what was happening to them the right way.
Mm.
And I feel the people that I live with now are more free-going and outgoing with that.
Mm.
So that makes me feel more comfortable in the house, because if there's something wrong, they tell me. There's something that they're not comfortable with telling me, then they tell me that. They're not shy. And I don't like being shy because it makes me hold up my guard.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, how important is communication in any relationship, in your opinion?
It's very important. Without communicating, I really don't believe there is a relationship.
You know, from the mouths of babes, aho, sister, man. It's so true. And what's interesting is people, well, let me ask you a question before. Have you dealt with people who have shown, do you know what a paradox is?
No.
Okay. A paradox is essentially two opposites existing simultaneously. So up and down. The center of that is a paradox, because up does exist, down does exist, and right in the center, they both exist.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a very Zen space. It's the space where time and no time, it's where all the opposites come into play. And my personal belief is that we're experiencing right now very paradoxical energies, which when we were talking earlier, excuse me, about the adults in your life, how, you know, people who are afraid can often come across as conceited. And people who are out of control can often come across as very controlling. Those are the paradoxes. Because usually they don't even see themselves that way. You know,
yeah.
I'll never forget a time. And if a thought comes up for a story or something, definitely share, because I have found people really understand what we're talking about when you share it through a story. Like, the thought for me came up, I remember when I was a teenager, and my brother and my father were having a fight on the porch about my brother's college choices. And my father was pummeling my brother's arm, screaming at him, "You're out of control." You know, and I remember as a teenager looking, going, you know, like, it's one of those, you know, classic, what's wrong with this picture? You know, who's out of control when you're pummeling your kid's arm? My father was out of control. And he was out of control over my brother's choices, which, ironically, my father wanted my brother to be an accountant, and my brother's a master salesman. So sticking him, you know, crunching numbers behind a calculator, that's not his passion. That wasn't where he was supposed to be. And yet my father was like, "You're out of control, you're out of control." And I'm like, you know, so that's how paradoxes show up. And I have found that more and more and more people make sense to me as I embrace the paradoxes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, many adults, especially adults that haven't gone through a conscious awakening, which in my personal opinion, the biggest step about a conscious awakening is simply when you go, there's no victims, there's no blame. I am responsible for everything that I experience. All creation in my world is mine. That's the first step of the awakening. Because the minute you take blame out, self-responsibility immediately fills its space. Because if you're not making me upset, then something's in me that's upset, and I need to own that. I'm upset because I'm upset, not because you're making me upset. You're triggering that experience in me, but it's in me, and I own it. And if I want to stop being obsessed, then I have to release it. If I don't release it, I will just continue to have, you know, whether it be a person, an event, or whatever, will continue to show up in my world, triggering me until I choose to release it. So that's another paradox where, you know, people are like, how many times do you know people are screaming, "It's all your fault," you know, and it's like, you just put a mirror up to them. It's like, no, it's all about you, because the universal laws say that. Well, let me throw this at you. Tell me how this feels to you. And I do babble a lot, so again, feel free to, you know, cut in, interrupt anytime you want. I don't know how to ask questions per se, because you know what happens? I ask a question, and right now my energy and your energy is blending. Like, I can literally feel you in me, and I can feel the influence of things I'm saying. Like, am I saying things that seem to resonate personally in your life?
Yes.
And I'm not even trying to do that. That's just kind of what happens. But when I do that, it triggers things. So I not only want to ask the question, I want to answer it at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's a very Goldie thing. But it comes through awareness. But I want the listeners to really experience your wisdom, because we have a mutual friend / acquaintance, and you know, we're not going to use any names, but I would like to discuss her simply because your wisdom comes very clearly through with that. Are you comfortable? Okay, so in a nutshell, this friend of ours is going through, you know, a painful divorce. She lost her house. She lost her business. This is what we call in the spiritual world The Dark Night of the Soul, which is the beginning of the awareness that I create my reality. But it's the part where everything's collapsing as opposed to the part where you're now, you know, at a comfortable, peaceful space building. So it's a very scary space. But this person, you know, kind of came in. She's now, you know, living with you guys in the house. And what's her energy like? Or like, you know, what have been some of the experiences in your sharing, you know, your wisdom with her that that you think could help maybe somebody else?
In me trying to help her through this hard experience, I like to relate life-like experience from me to her situation.
Okay.
And I think when I tell her, she understands, but she doesn't fully get what I'm trying to tell her.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question. Would you be open to sharing some of your personal experiences?
Yeah.
Because, Rayanne, I think you're going to help a lot of people tonight sharing that.
Yeah, I can definitely share.
Okay. Okay, so can you share with us just, say, from age 10 to 17, what brought you to Trisha's house?
Well, I was living with my mom and my stepfather.
Okay.
And me and my stepfather don't see eye to eye. Sometimes we get along, but sometimes we don't.
Okay.
And I moved out August of last year.
Okay.
And we got into this really big argument in the process of me trying to make up my mind if I was leaving or not. And I had made the statement to him that I didn't want to be there. I didn't feel comfortable telling him that, but I told him anyways.
Oh, because, rock on, sister. Yes.
Because that's what my heart told me to do. And I told him, and he said, fine, go when your mom comes home. So my mom came up the driveway, and I went inside, and I told my mom what was going on. I made my one phone call, and I left. And ever since that day, I go to visit, but I don't stay for longer than a weekend, because I know me and my stepdad don't get along.
Right.
And it's not that we don't want to get along. It's just since we don't see eye to eye, and I don't do things in his perspective because he has mental disabilities. He's a disabled veteran from Desert Storm. Being in the war really messed with his mind. And that caused him to have post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
And that takes a big toll on everything he does. And sometimes I just can't take his PTSD.
Indeed. That is just F-U-C-K-E-D.
No. Yeah.
But indeed. But see, now, okay, so this is interesting. All right, let's go with this because, okay, last night my dream when I woke up was that I have been witnessing cultural abuse in my dreams. Now, you have a choice. Now, so at 16, you basically moved out of your house.
Yes.
When you moved out, did you know that you were going to move to Trisha's?
No, I did not.
Oh, God, I love you, Rayanne. Okay, so talk to me. Tell me about the process of your thoughts as well as your actions. What gave you the courage to leave, even though, I mean, ultimately, where were you going?
I didn't know or care where I was going. I just knew I was going. I took that leap of faith, and I went. And I stayed at a house with a friend for a couple of days who helped me get stuff together for school that year until I found a stable home. And I found that home. I was happy there, but I was alone. Mentally, I was alone. I didn't have any kids around in the household my age. They were all older and working. I didn't have anybody to talk to. And with the animals that they had in the house, I was getting sick a lot.
Okay.
So I found another friend who was willing to take me in. But those people weren't as calm and relaxed as the people that I live with now.
Okay.
And I could tell that their negativity was there. I didn't like that.
Okay.
So in the process of me living in that house and feeling, you know, upset because they were negative all the time, their daughter, got into some stuff that she shouldn't have and had to go to rehab.
Okay.
And she had some jealous issues, and I had decided before that, because the people I live with now wanted me to come live with them while I was living there, but I didn't want to hurt their feelings and just leave. But
okay.
It kind of all worked out really good, because their daughter's counselor said that she had jealous issues of me being in the house, and that it would probably be best if I had find another place to live. And I said,
don't you love it when a plan comes into play? I mean, exactly.
Yeah, I loved it. And I found that out while I was at my boyfriend's house. And
okay.
I talked to the person that I'd lived with, and she told me the situation. And I was like, that's fine. You know, I'll leave today. I'll go start packing my stuff up today. And I did. And this is where I ended up.
See, I mean, the reason why I get very excited is because, so everything as you needed it to fell into place, correct?
Correct.
That is such a, you know, I want to say that again for the listeners, for anyone who's going to listen to the archives. Everything Rayanne needed fell into place. It wasn't planned. And I'm not saying that, you know, because I know as you get older, I mean, I am running into people. See, I literally get a little schizophrenic when I try to tell a story, because I've got like all these things that I want to share right now. Okay, first of all, the amount of trust and courage that you showed Rayanne is just absolutely exquisite. And not only trust and courage, there is a grace about you that I clearly picked up on the when we were talking, you know, earlier before the show. And I won't say that there's an expectancy, because I don't get that from you, and yet that's exactly what I get from an expanded point of view, that you just know you're going to be okay. But beyond that, you don't know the equation, you don't know the people that might be involved, you're okay being fluid, where I'll live here or I'll live here. And, you know, I tell people all the time, the birthing process, literally, the birthing process going from human to human angel is bringing us all back to a space where it really is imperative to think and kind of sway like the kids do, in that we got to stop being attached to stuff. We got to stop. See, it's like our mutual friend that's also living there, She has this wonderful space where I realize, you know, she lost everything. And that is clearly traumatic. I mean, when I was 14 years old, my house burned down to the ground. I know what it's like to lose everything. I've moved in certain places where I've been asked to leave, and if it didn't fit in my car, well, it didn't come with me. So I've let go of, you know, 35 years worth of quote-unquote stuff. I know what it's like to let go of things, and because I know what it's like to let go of things, I find that it's easier to let go of things. It's
yes.
Like, it becomes the gift of the people used to say to me, you know, how do you find so much patience? And I'm like, because the gift itself is the patience. I'm not looking for patience to bring me something else. Patience is the gift of patience. Letting go of stuff, right? It's, people think it has to lead to something, the reward, you know, and it's like, no, this isn't about a reward per se from a physical point of view. The reward is peace of mind. The reward is safe, expanded, wonderful experiences. I mean, I heard Trish call you using, you know, your full name, and then she put her last name on it. You know, it's like, and I'll tell you, Trish is like one of those people. Trish can barely pay her bills, but she'll always be able to pay her bills, because she always has an open door policy for those, you know, if they need a hand.
Yes.
Her and her husband are extraordinary when it comes to that. I mean, I know I've shipped people up. I don't know if you heard about that, but
no, not yet.
And, it's all good. Well, as you get to know me, I'll share stories about my 18-year-old that I shipped up there last year. But the whole truth is, it's like the whole consciousness of that household is really about, listen, it's not so much about stuff and can you pay rent. It's about the compassion and just the sheer, you're a human being and we can help you, so we will, and divinity will come in and play a part for all of us. You know, because I don't know. If I didn't know people like this when I was growing up, or I didn't know they existed. But to be honest, the people who opened their homes to me, believe it or not, was my parents, because in the 45 years that I've been on the planet, I have been living with my parents a good portion of that. You know, I just kept coming home, or truth be told, never leaving. I would bring boyfriends to my house because my parents were similar to Trish and her husband, where they didn't ask us to leave. They said, bring people home. You know, I didn't bring home stray animals. I brought home stray people.
Yeah.
You know, because so I resonate totally with the whole idea of what you said. It's very free-spirited and, you know, it's the house you want to be at because it's where you feel you can just be self.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to put on airs. You don't have to, you know, Trish doesn't have a room in her house that says, don't sit here. It's only for company.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, in my personal belief, those people that have the places in their house or the china that can only be taken out, you know, for guests, those are the people having the hardest time birthing this new consciousness right now. Because this new consciousness doesn't give a rat's ass about the stuff. It cares about the people.
Yeah.
And it is such a significant difference, because I'm not saying that we can't all enjoy stuff. God knows, I grew up in Fairfield County, a very wealthy area, and my mom, she was always the one, we, like Trish, never had a place where you couldn't eat food, never had, there was, you know, if a dish broke, and my mom was like, all right, we'll buy another one. It's like, I don't have it to keep it in the china cabinet. Use it, and if it got broken because we, you know, were using it, then it was used well. It had a good life. You know, and it's like she looked at people like that as well. Okay, somebody's trying to call in. All right, we'll take a call, okay?
Okay.
Hi, area code 860, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Who's this?
My name is Faithful.
Your name is who?
Faithful.
Faithful?
Yeah.
Outstanding. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So
how
do you
doing?
Have something you want to share? Yeah. How old are you?
20.
Outstanding. I love that we got a young audience tonight. Awesome. Awesome. So can you share some wisdom? Or share, whatever you care to share. I love that you're on the air right now. I love it.
Can I call you back?
Sure. Hey, we're on till 10. All right. Okay, well, he's going to call us back. I guess my guess is he probably wants to go in a room where there was no background sound. See, Marianne, you're talking to people right now.
I hear that.
Yeah, you're exquisite. Okay, so let's go back. I'm going to back up for a second. Okay, so now you're in the house, and how has your life changed now that you don't have to worry about FTCD or whatever those letters were? Because, you know, it makes a huge difference feeling safe, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does. And where I live now is more positive than where I lived originally. Because PTSD is post-traumatic stress. It's a stress disorder.
Right.
And just there's certain things you can take and you can't take when you have that disability. And when you can't take something, you don't know how to react to it. And I think that was a big part of my stepfather's problem, because sometimes he feels overwhelmed or he's stressed. He's had a heart attack. He's got a lot of stuff going on.
Right.
And sometimes I don't think he knows how to handle that. Not saying that he can't, but sometimes I don't think he knows exactly what to do with himself.
Right, right.
And
well, we were talking about that earlier, how to process the energy, right? Process the anger. Yes. Yes. Keep going. Continue.
But his PTSD didn't only affect him. It affected the people around him.
Yeah.
Because without him realizing it, he didn't treat other people appropriately. He didn't treat them with love and care. He had hatred in his voice. Mm. And he was angry all the time, and that's not a good way to be.
Yeah.
And being through that experience and being where I am now makes me the positive person I try to be.
Yeah, trust me, Rand, you don't have to try. You are. You are. And I say that because, like, can you sense when you're tuning into, I don't even know how to put it into words, but it's like a space within yourself that knows yourself beyond your body, beyond this, just the physical experience of you. When you're in nature, do you get, when I'm in nature, I can't even tell, I am having a love affair with the trees, the dirt, the grass, well, there's not real grass, but the trees, the dirt, the birds, the breeze, like, I go to the woods because I need to physically know the sensation of unconditional love. I've never really received that from people. And of course, as I go on my journey, I recognize I can't receive it from people, A, because I wasn't giving it to myself, and B, because we're not programmed to love unconditionally. We're programmed to love by conditions, which says, you know, when we're growing up, you'll be loved if you're a good little girl. But if you're a bad little girl, we're not going to love you. Which immediately programs into our beings an anger. And then we're programmed on top of it and don't express that anger. So they program us to tell us we're not unconditionally loved. And then they tell us, and you're not allowed to feel bad about that. What we call a catch-22. So, you know, you get older and older and older, and inevitably it's like a volcano. You know, something's going to pop. So, I mean, I popped. I had my pop at, you know, at 30, and I did a ton of drugs, and, you know, I was crazy going to numb myself because that was the conditioning that life had brought me growing up. It was like, you know, it told me all these things that I'm not, which now I know I am. And then it told me not to feel angry about being told I wasn't what I am. You know, it's like, you know, just even saying it, I feel like there's this constriction, like such a limitation on our beingness that, you know, no wonder why we go to war and no wonder why we do all these things. You know, the whole species is just pissed off. Because we, you know, we've been told we're one thing and we're awakening to the truth that we're another.
Yes.
And I swear my heart really believes that you were born not forgetting as much as my generation forgot.
Yeah.
That you, does that feel right to you? Yeah. You guys know, because when you're when you go to the when you're in nature, where do you go? Woods or the beach or what's your nature of preference?
Well, I live, of course, in West Virginia, and I'm surrounded by woods.
Okay.
Everywhere I go, there's trees, there's grass, there's animals, and I find that relaxing. I love animals, and that's another reason I love being in this household. We have 7 dogs now.
I know. Our friend brought yet another dog. That's so funny.
Yes.
I
love all the puppies as them individual selves.
Indeed.
Because they're not afraid to be who they are, and that's how it is outside. If you see a little bird in the sky, it doesn't care what it's doing.
Yeah.
It's going to do what it wants to do. They're just, it's free, it's happy.
Yeah, it's free. I think, see, that affiliating happiness with freedom, I think, is right on. I don't think anything can be happy when it's not free.
Yeah.
I don't care whether it's an animal. I don't care if it's a human. Nothing, because freedom is an innate state that we all thrive for. I mean, I love that, you know, the essence of the animal that I've taken on, obviously, the golden hawk, when men come into my life and, you know, I can feel it where they're already trying to change me. Like, you know, they really like me who I am, but you can just sense when they're starting to change you. It's like, oh, no, don't do that. Do this. You know, you don't want to meditate tonight. Come out and play. You know, little subtle changes. And I'm like, you know what? Inevitably, what I can tell is happening is I feel this caged feeling, and I'm like, you can't cage a hawk. You know, I'm not yellow canary. I'm golden hawk.
Yeah.
Don't mind me. I crack myself up. But, you know, it's like, I mean, because I would imagine, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I tend to see, like, a lot of the nanny gigs that I go to, like, you know those Japanese fighting fish?
Yeah. They're
okay.
Called betas.
Betas, exactly. Now, have you ever lived with one or had a friend who had one? Have you ever experienced one in person?
Well, as a child, my mom had one, my aunt had one, my grandma had one, I had one, we all had them.
See, this is me tapping into you. Okay, so you know that they respond to presence, right? I mean, I had one and I could talk to it. He'd come right up to the glass and send me love. I could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you, you know, science is like, a fish doesn't remember itself, you know, from a nanosecond to a nano. I don't even know what the hell science is saying. And I'm sure science believes what it's saying. But I, you know, that fish captured my heart. And I'll go to these nanny gigs that have them. And it's like, you know, I'll certain nanny gigs I won't go for like every 3 months. And I'll come the next time and it's a new fish. I'm like, what happened to the other fish? And it's like it died. And I'm like going, you know, because you can't just put something in a bowl, give it food and its thing. You know, it's like all existence.
All animals
live. Go ahead, say it. Yes, go.
All animals need love.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what plants thrive on love.
Mm-hmm.
They do. I know because me, Anya, and Sahana, first time in my life, I planted seedlings with them, and I have a lot of plants, but I usually buy plants, you know, they're already plants, and then I can, you know, maybe a spider plant, I'll replant. But I grew seedlings, and they flowered just this week, actually. We had a purple and a pink flower, and I told the girls every day, send this plant love. Send it love, because I didn't know if it was going to grow or not, because seedlings, you know, I don't know if you've ever grown stuff, but anything can happen at a seedling. It won't necessarily grow to its potential. It could easily die at any point along the way. And what I just clearly got that, you know, these people drop a fish in a bowl and, you know, like they feed it. But I would go over there. I'd put my hands around the bowl. I would share my gratitude for being on the planet. because there's an exchange. It's not just that I'm giving to the fish. I'm receiving from the fish. It's not just that I give to the plants. I'm receiving from the plant. And I'll tell you, as you probably well know too, when it comes to plants, they rock my world, all puns intended. The trees are my best friends. No lie. They are the most comforting, unconditionally loving, spectacular friends. They never let me down. Every time I don't feel comfortable in my own skin, if I go to the woods, I mean, at this point, literally within 30 seconds, every ounce of my stomach muscles relax, my neck and my shoulder relax, and I could have, you know, 20 pounds of stuff in my backpack hiking, but it don't matter. It is a state of relaxedness, so to speak, that, you know, most people in our culture are popping pills to get.
Yeah.
And I don't mean your, you know, kids popping, you know, pinkies and greenies. I mean adults going to these antisuppressants and antidepressants and, you know, you can't get it. I mean, you can get it synthetically, but, you know, then you have the potential of, you know, anal bleeding and whatever the other side effects are from the prescriptions, where the only side effect from going into the woods is a possible bug bite here and there, you know, mosquito bite.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's like I have deep experiences when I'm in the woods, and it's for the first time in my life allowed me that I don't need a man in my life to tell me I'm lovable. I am lovable because I experience unconditional love from the woods. And no matter what happens in my, you know, my world of work or my world of relationships, no one can take that from me, ever. Ever. And I tell people all the time, go to the woods or go to the beach, because some people are beach people. And I'm like, that's cool, because there's a lot of stuff happening, especially if your beach has waves. And,
yeah,
and when the water breaks, there's a lot of energy released in the waves breaking that absolutely feed the body in a positive way. Absolutely. But, you know, people listen as much as they listen. can bring them to water. You can't make them drink. Okay, so let's go back. Okay. I'm really enjoying this, Rayanne. You're spectacular. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to have you on again. We're gonna make you a regular, because I love that faithful call. Even if he doesn't call back, I love that he did call, because just to let me know and you know that, well, I believe you have something to say, and I would love to be the avenue to help you say it. And it's nothing planned. It's nothing scripted. It's just you being you.
Yeah.
Literally, just you being you is beautiful. So wait a minute. So tell me about what's going on. You got, are you graduating this year? Are you a senior?
Yes, this is my last year of high school.
Okay. So tell me about that.
At times it can be stressful. Anything can be stressful. I'm sick. So I left school at 9 o'clock today. I was a little upset with myself because I know I'm not supposed to be missing school. But I couldn't help it.
Okay, so be gentle with yourself. I mean, you don't sound like somebody who misses a lot of school, right?
It depends on how sick I am.
Okay,
I don't try to miss a lot of school, but sometimes you just can't help it.
Indeed.
Like my
principal. This vertigo is kicking my ass tonight. That means this is something I believe that's happening as a planet. So whatever kicking my ass, that's kicking yours, too. Well, and whether you're spinning from vertigo or, because I guess Trish told me there's sinuses, right? It's all about sinuses.
Yeah, I have major sinus problems. I'm allergic to anything and everything, outside, inside, you name it,
really?
I'm allergic. Really. Like, I live with 6 dogs. I'm highly allergic to dogs. I'm allergic to almost every kind of weed, every kind of tree. I'm highly allergic to horses and hay. I need a plastic.
Wow, and yet you're having a wonderful experience? I mean, everything you just named, you're around.
Mm-hmm. And you can't escape it. You just got to do what you got to do and keep going.
Indeed. Now, do you believe you can break through this, though? Do you believe you can break through these allergies? Let me ask you, do you believe the allergies have insights for you?
I don't know. I've never thought about that.
I would definitely, I would contemplate that because, boy, your inner essence is, from my sense of it, just wanting to just bust out of all the confinement of can't and soar in can.
Well, I don't believe that you can't do anything. It's not that you can't do it. It's that you don't want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not
I
don't want to be unhealthy, but unfortunately I am, and I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm just going to keep going, do what I have to, go to school, do my homework, the normal routine, and hopefully by the time I get better. If not, then I keep going.
Well, and you even came on the show tonight because I mean, I know a lot of people that if they get sick, the minute that, you know, they're like, no, I'm just going to stay home. I'm just going to stay home and lay down and go to sleep or, you know, or whatever it is. In other words, they do let it stop them. See, I don't believe anybody's getting sick. I think we're all awakening. And that if there's a part of our bodies that is out of alignment, it's because there's a belief somewhere surrounding that is keeping that out of alignment. And this is when I go back to what I said earlier about we were raised in such, you know, be a good girl, be a good boy. If you're a bad boy, you know, then we're gonna withhold our love. And like all of these experiences taught us to hold like pockets of anger, pockets of insecurity, pockets of stuff that as we age come up to basically be like re-explored, you know, exploring them from not the space of judgment, but the space of, okay, I'm ready to love this part of me. Because it's no longer about the app. One of the things I've learned deeply, and this was, you know, I mean, I'm still learning it. Well, I should say I'm still experiencing it. I do know it as a truth. No one can love me but me. Because for me, all my life, it was all about, first it was my father's love who I wanted, and then that just transferred to the men. I wanted love from a man. Because I can remember saying to myself, if I have a boyfriend and he calls me beautiful, then it doesn't matter if the whole world thinks I'm ugly. I'm beautiful because he says I'm beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe that that's a familiar space with a lot of girls in our culture. You know, we want to be told we're beautiful by a guy, or if you're a lesbian, by a girl. That's irrelevant for the gender. It's just someone outside of us. And what I have learned, you know, in 45 years is that there is a source of energy that is, it's like the sun. Like the sun is the outer counterpart, but there's an inner counterpart, an inner sun that absolutely 24/7 all the time radiates unconditional love. And when we like shift our awareness from getting light from the outside sun to getting light from the inside sun, the whole game changes. Because it's no longer, you don't need anything from the outside. You're now so filled up from the inside, you can't help but share it on the outside. Because it's impossible when you feel that much love to not share it. You just have to. Love's whole expression, especially when it's genuine unconditional love. Genuine unconditional love says, you know, you can be a total mess, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's like conditional love says in order to be loved, you have to have, you know, you have to have your poop in a group. Unconditional love says you can be exactly who you are and I still love you. Now, This was an interesting thing because unconditional love doesn't mean that I have to be in a relationship where the guy's, you know, placing his hands on me and not in a loving way. That is not unconditionally loving. It is unconditionally loving to acknowledge him as a divine being. It is unconditionally loving to say that I created him in my world, but it is not unconditionally loving to continue to place myself in a dangerous situation where he can harm me, because as you know and I know, being in dangerous situations, it's like it was very challenging for me to stay connected to that inner son. I mean, I would do it, but over a long period of time, I would have been worn down by all the threats and, you know, because it wasn't even just him laying his hands on me. I mean, it was also, I was in a relationship where, I mean, he would just talk so blatantly disrespectful to me. And I had a show a couple of weeks ago where I addressed this on the air, that I knew that it was all negative and all that, but for me, I had to know how I was creating it. Because I believe that the empowerment comes if we look at, like if you look at your allergies, even one at a time, what does it stand for? How did it get created? What's the belief behind it? When did it start? You know what I'm saying? And then flip the belief. Like, for me, the belief that I had to flip was, I trust myself, so there's no need for me to control my environment. And because I was definitely trying to control my environment in that I wanted to, quote-unquote, heal this gentleman that was just pissed off at the world.
Oh. Yeah. It's his mother-in-law.
Oh, on the other line? Do you want to get that? Oh, it's up to you. It's up to you. I mean, I'll talk until you get back, or...
I really don't
want to answer. I prefer you to stay. If you don't want to talk to her, don't talk to her.
I really don't want to answer that.
Okay, listen, the best thing is you can say I was live on the radio show. I couldn't pick up. That's a pretty legitimate excuse.
Yeah?
Truly, yeah. It's legit. Trust me. So, let me ask you, are you enjoying this?
Yes, I am.
I am enjoying your company very much, too. Because one of the things Michael, the guest who was supposed to be on tonight, he goes, Goldie, whatever happens tonight, recognize that, because I told him at one point I was just going to play a copy of another show. But he goes, whatever happens tonight, whatever said, it was meant to be said. Someone needed to hear it. And I'm like, oh, definitely, right on. I totally agree with that. Everything's in, you know, the optimism. Everything's in divine order. You, my friend, though, you're exquisite. You are. I don't know how often you've been told that in your life, but you are really, you're magical.
I honestly have not been told that much at all.
Well, let me be the first of many in a long line. You're magical.
Well,
there's a calmness about you that is, you can't buy that. It doesn't come bottled. You can't pop it in as a pill. You can't lift weights to get it. You know what I'm saying? It's an aspect of your essence that, even if you're not working consciously with it, doesn't matter. It's a part of you already, because that calmness is, I can feel it. I mean, it's helping me be calm. You know, it can be a little crazy when, you know, your guest calls you up a half an hour before the show and goes, you know, I'm stuck in a bus. You know, it's live. You know, it's basically live radio. It's, you know, there have been times in my life where I would have been flipping out, you know, just like, what am I going to do? Who am I going to get? And, you know, I wrote in one of my things on Facebook, you know, I'm moving at the speed of consciousness, you know, because like you, I just went, okay, well, let's see what shows up. And Rayanne showed up, you know, and just effortlessly.
Well,
go ahead.
I take Mike being stuck on the bus as kind of what brought you to calling here, And it just happened to be a coincidence that Trish was gone.
Indeed. I totally agree. Because when I called you, it was interesting because I the vertigo was kicking. I was laying in my bed basically spinning like a top, saying to Mike, listen, don't worry about not doing the show. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do the show, which, by the way, similar to driving the car, this entire time we've been talking, I haven't spun once. I mean, I'm not nauseous. I definitely get heat fluctuations. And just so you know, I've had people on my show that are, you know, truly masters in progress, so to speak, you know, really working masters. And yes. I have the same energetics happening with you that I have when they're on the show.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, all my friends know, and I'm a huge fan of the kids. Of the kids' presence, just your presence. You know, we're just having a conversation. You know, this is not like we're, you know, jumping through hoops and trying to make, you know, the equation M squared to the minus plus. You know, we're just talking about our lives and honestly and saying, okay, you know, here's where I'm at. This is all good. Because I promise you, people feel this. And even if it's not live, even if they play the archive, they'll feel the energy of just the calmness. Because do you realize that, let me ask you a question. Do you have like a current event class at school?
A current event class?
Yeah, well, like I used to have a class where we would cut out articles from the newspaper. So we were literally talking about what was happening in the moment that I was at school.
Well, sort of. In my history class, we do articles from the newspaper a lot and write in our own words how we feel about that article and what it was about.
Oh, nice. Okay, so really? Okay, so in your personal opinion, can you share how you're feeling about, you know, anything that you feel is important that's happening on the planet right now? You know, from politics to healthcare, to something, you know, even just maybe personal relationships, just the state of awareness of the planet right now. How are you feeling, you know, as a 17-year-old person ready, you know, to be? Are you going to college when you're done?
Yes, I am going to go to college.
Okay. And what is your major? Or at least going to start to be your major?
I want to be a massage therapist.
Okay. Oh, you're going to be a great massage therapist. You know, too, when I am, well, the next time I'm up in that area, or if you guys end up coming down, I want to share with you some energy. You're already moving energy, but there's some energy techniques that, so when you're massaging somebody, you can also energetically massage them, so to speak.
Yeah.
You're a natural for this. So that's, I think, and you're a healer, too. Because did you resonate when I said I wanted to heal Scott? I try not to use his name. Heal the gentleman. Did you resonate that with about your stepdad?
Yes.
Yeah. Us healers, we get ourselves caught in a lot of dark spaces. But you know why we do, right? Or let me ask you, why do you think we do?
Because those people are calling out for help.
Exactly. Because they are light. You know, dark is just a shadow, the light being shadowed. You know, everything's divine. Did you see the trilogies? I'm getting a little schizophrenic. I'm curious to know, though, how you're feeling about what's going on in the planet right now.
Well, I haven't really done much reading with this being the fourth week of school.
Okay.
And I don't watch the Weather Channel because the Weather Channel irritates me.
Why?
I don't quite know. Just,
okay.
Sometimes I don't have the patience to just sit there and wait for people to tell me about the weather, tell me about what's happening, and all that stuff.
Okay.
But I think anything, like relationships, my, you know, my friend's going through the relationship that she's gone through, I think that happened for a reason. I think that she came to me for help, and I think it has helped her, and I think that's a very good thing to do, is go when you need help, but I think she also needs to take it as a positive way, like rain. Everybody hates rain. Well, almost anybody hates rain. I don't hate rain. I love rain.
I love rain, too.
Have you
I
ever
tell
heard
people all the time, if you don't like rain, live in a desert, and you will know how grateful you are that it rains. But anyway,
yeah.
Go on. Go ahead. Yeah. Go
Have
ahead.
You ever heard the song called Rain is a Good Thing?
By who?
I can't remember who sings it, but on the song it says, rain makes corn, corn makes whiskey, whiskey makes my baby feel a little frisky.
I love
it's
it.
Very... And then you have all these songs. There's a country song, of course, called Songs About Rain. It
okay.
sees all the negative things towards rain. And I think the song Rain is a Good Thing happened to make people realize that rain isn't all as bad as they make it out to be. Rain helps the flowers grow. It makes the trees look better.
Mm-hmm.
It does
mm-hmm.
wonderful things.
Do you know that without water, there is no life? Water literally sustains life on this planet.
Yep.
You know, so when people don't like rain, it's like, okay, so you don't like life? Because that's ultimately what
Uh-oh, hold
saying.
On a minute, Goldie. My horses are widowing, which means one of them's probably out.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, okay. Okay, are you taking the phone or are you putting it down?
Oh, I will take it with me because she's right in the front yard.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, normally when one of the horses widow, one of them climbed out of the fence.
Yeah.
And she's not hard to get to.
Hey, it's 9/11. I always look at that when I'm on my show, and, you know, of course, there's chaos at 9/11. I see it all the time. Even if it's 9/11 in the morning. Oh, when's your birthday?
My birthday is on April 10th.
April 10th. So you're an Aries?
I am an Aries.
Yeah. So is my friend Alana. So is my brother. Yes, I have a lot of Aries in my the fire. The fire is also about transmutation and the ability to, take a dark space and transmute it into truly just the compassion and the love that says it's all right. It's all right.
Yes. I hate to hang up with you for a minute, but I'm going to have to because my horse is running.
Go, baby. Go. Take care of the horse. And what I want you to do is when, hang up if you call back because I might end up ending the show tonight. If nobody calls in on the switchboard, you were exquisite. Thank you. Oh, Rayanne. Many blessings. Thank you so much for sharing tonight. And I want to talk to you about, actually, I want you on again. I mean, plan this and because I love your energy. I think you're an exquisite human being. And if you ever wanted to, you know, take up radio, I think it would be a blessing for anybody that listens to what you have to say. So,
well, I'll tell you what. You can call me next week, and we'll plan to talk on the radio next Thursday.
Well, I have other guests coming on, but I will plan it. We got to book this. Yeah, you rock. Rayanne, I don't care. I don't care what they say. You rock. You rock,
yes.
Sister. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, and I'm going to call Trish and let her know that I have to walk over to the neighbor's house, unfortunately.
No. Get the horses. Indeed. I'll send you blessings. And I might even call you later just to talk to you about how you feel about it after you kind of breathe it in that, hey, I was on the radio tonight.
Yeah. But
all right. I love you, sweetheart. I will talk to you soon.
Okay, good night.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Okay, so while she goes, I am going to let me at least make a couple announcements. Also, what I want to do is give any of my listeners the opportunity, if you want to call in. We got 45 minutes left. I'm happy to continue the show. But if, you know, one of the things life has taught me, if it's time to end, it's time to end. You know, and that's good. That's all good, too. So the announcements are next week, Phil and Brogno my favorite ufologist and mad scientist, and he's written a new book called The Djinn. He's been traveling. I think Phil actually got his PhD from MIT recently. That I believe that happened. I'm not sure. We'll ask him about that next week. He'll be on next week. The week after that, I'm going to have a really interesting show with Dawn Leader and Grandma Chandra. Grandma Chandra is a 23-year-old girl who's physically severely handicapped, but consciously traveling all across the cosmos. She speaks telepathically through her mom, Kat Parenti, and they're going to be on the show. Because they've never been on the show, I'm not quite sure how it works, if they're doing readings or not. But I've done a reading with Grandma Chandra, and it was a visceral experience. I was tasting foods. I was having experiences. I was visualizing and feeling and sensing myself on the beach. It was a pretty deep experience. It was pretty wild. I enjoyed it very much. So that will be September 30th, and then I don't have anybody scheduled in October yet. So maybe we'll bring Ray Ann back on. Well, I'm definitely going to bring her back on. But it does appear that nobody wants to call. You guys, I love you all. I appreciate that you guys put up with all of my wonderful antics, so to speak, and my spontaneity, and tonight was amazing. I'm in joy, and I love you all, bless you all, and I will see you all either on Facebook or I will talk to you next Thursday, which, as everybody knows, is my favorite day of the week. So everybody have a really blessed night and a blessed week, and I'll speak to you soon. All right. Namaste.